Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday where Angel and I take time and answer questions you sent in. And we've got quite a few to look over today, Angel. So what do you say?
Well, I say Joe and I are in the middle of a crazy time. I just on a little bit of a whim.
A whim?
Decided to put our house up for sale.
Oh, and it whimmed really fast.
And so now, so it went really fast. Way faster than I thought it would. And
it's a hot area. It is.
Now we are scrambling to try to find a place to live and pack and move. And
this too shall pass.
Got a new grandbaby. Ooh. And our plate is full.
Yes, it is.
Full of exciting adventures.
It is. It is.
Thing is, Joe always has lived in the same house for like
32 years.
32 years. I probably have moved every 32 months.
That's the truth. She's not exaggerating. That's the truth. So,
but this is kind of losing its appeal on this one. But anyway, so pray for us if you think about it.
And we want to thank, just take just a minute and thank our partners. We could not do this was not for our partners, our equipment, the fact we're on around the world and three times a week. It's just been amazing. So partners, thank you for your support. We pray over everything that comes in. We are good stewards of what you support us for, and we're doing a good job. We really are. So thank you. We could not do this without you.
God loves family.
Yes,
and
he does.
A family is the closest thing to
yeah.
Heart. Because, you know, you think about it. What did the devil attack right out of the gate? The first thing was the family.
Yep.
And Joe said to me one time years ago, and I'll never forget it. He said, you know, God experienced the first divorce because here was a man that he loved and he gave everything to.
Yep.
And he rejected it.
Yep.
And so, you know, God knows what we're going through. Sometimes we forget that and we just think, you know.
He feels it. He knows.
But he knows and he's empathetic to it. And so, you know, when you sit and you listen to things about the family, it's not just an opinion and it's not just you know, we're not just lightly throwing stuff out there because we know the importance of a family. So thank you for joining us. We don't take your time for granted. And
if you'd like to be a partner, you can go to our website and discover. There's just one button you push. Real easy to be a monthly partner with us, and we would so appreciate it. We really would.
Yes, we certainly do.
We got a lot of stuff going on.
We do. All right. Joe, I love my husband and kids, but sometimes I get annoyed. I just want some time alone. How do you lovingly say, I need some me time without coming across rude?
You just have to say it. You just have to say it. Honey, I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. But I need a little downtime just for a little bit. You know, even Jesus, Son of God, loved those 12 apostles. But even he had to get away by himself. So, boys, I got to go up here by myself. I'll be back, but I got to get away for a little bit. I got to talk to my father. Got to get some me time. And he'd come back every time. So everybody needs some me time, you know. Now, when I say me time, I don't mean hanging out with other friends and going out with a herd of other guys or other gals. Just you get alone, you and God, and just get some rest. You know, take a nap, go for a walk, you know, not hanging out with other people besides your family. I'm not talking about that because I've seen that happen and that can go south because you get to talking too much and you share stuff you shouldn't be sharing. That's between you and your spouse. And people want to empathize and get empathy. And well, maybe you should never marry them or married her. And you get some really bad conversation going. So me time is me time. That's what it means. So it's good to get some downtime and some rest time and go sit on the back porch or go for a walk. So that's good. Would you like to share?
I don't necessarily agree with that completely because I do think me time is important. Time to regroup and refresh. And
you do need friends.
You do need friends. Because sometimes, I mean, that's what is refreshing. And sometimes you need an objective opinion, you know, like.
That's true.
Like, matter of fact, this morning I was talking to a friend of mine and she is watching three of her grandchildren and she is so far out of grace to do it. She doesn't have the grace to do it. And it's really starting to bleed over to their marriage. And I said to her, you know, this is not going to stop until you take control of it.
Yep.
And
Santa Claus is a coming.
your kid is dictating your life. And I don't listen. I totally understand. We live in a time where grandparents are raising grandkids more than
Everywhere.
ever before. Things are different. I mean, you know, my parents raised my nephew because of drugs. My brother had a drug problem, and so, and it affected all of us, every single member of our family, and still does to this day.
Yes, it does.
And it caused a lot of division and strife. And so, I would just say that sometimes it is good to get away. Sometimes it's good to do something like just do an exercise class to let the stress off. You know, I used to say if I really need to hear from God, the one thing I took a personality test one time, and the one thing that they said, your personality should never, ever, ever do yard work. And I knew exactly what they were talking about because when I was first married, we moved into this little like a loft apartment, little tiny thing, and it had a little tiny, like 8 by 8 little back porch area, and somebody had put a tree in there and it had grown, and it was like 90% of that back area. So I decided one day I'm gonna just trim that back.
Oh,
Well,
Lord.
my husband comes home and I'm laid on the couch, you know, just like all exhausted. That thing was, we were in the Great Northwest in Washington, so it was a big old like spruce tree, you know. And so I'm just laid on the couch, exhausted. All I had was, you know, the old fashioned trimmers. And so I'm trying to get it even all day. This took me all day. And so when he finally came home, he looked outside. He goes, "What's going on?" And I just pointed back there to the back, and he looked outside, and there's all that was left was a stump in the ground.
Stub.
Yeah, because I couldn't get it even. So, but for some reason, if I really, really need to hear from God, I need to do yard work. And I mean, the thing that I'm terrible at, I need to do. So that there's been some times in my life where I said, "God, man, my back is against the wall here. I really, really need to hear from you." And I don't know if it's that I have to think so much about it that all the junk goes
Yep.
somewhere else or what it
That's
is,
it.
but that's my time. And you just have to know what yours is. But it's absolutely fine. Everybody needs to do it.
Yes.
I used to say to my husband, "Let's drive home slow and pretend like we're on a vacation." And so everybody needs a time to regroup, a time to refresh. Like Joe said, Jesus needed to do that. Sometimes it is. Last night we had dinner with some friends, and the woman walked in, and you could tell she was
Bless
stressed to the nines. So I start telling funny stories about the ministry that
her
I'd known all the years, and she's laughing, and she texted me all the way home, "Thank you for making me laugh." So, you know, but sometimes everybody needs a time of refreshing.
Yes.
So it is absolutely no time. I would just say, "Honey, I love you, but I've got
I'm going for a
dinner.
drive.
I got dinner or whatever, you know, but after dinner, I'm going to take an hour and go take an exercise class, or I'm going to walk around the block, or I'm going to go for a swim." I have a friend that does these laps. She's part of the, is it the 5 Mile Club, where they swim 5 miles in the first quarter of the year. So she every day goes and swims, and she's a different person. Sometimes I talk to her before she swims, sometimes I talk to her after, and I
The
prefer the after a
after's
lot
better.
better. Nothing wrong with that. Everybody needs to do it. So just tell your husband, "Honey, I love you. I know you love me. Sometimes I want a diamond, but these days what I want is an hour after. If you could put the kids to bed or something like that would be awesome." Saturday morning, another good time for a
It is.
husband to go do something with the
It
kids.
is.
How do you handle it when you don't agree with your pastor on a certain subject? Do we speak to him? Do we leave the church? I don't know what to do.
Well, you don't leave the church, not for that reason. The only reason you leave the church is if God tells you, and you got to make sure it's God, not your own voice. But there are no perfect pastors; they don't exist. There are no perfect sermons; they don't exist. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has opinions. I remember back when the political thing was so hot. We had some pastor friends that were Democrats, some pastor friends were Republicans. And you think, how could you be one of that? How could you? Well, they are. And, you know, they're still going to heaven. They still love God, but they just thought different. They just had different opinions. I had some pastors love to hunt. Some pastors were appalled that you'd want to go kill an animal. How could you shoot a deer? Well, because I like to deer hunt and turkey hunt, you know? And so It doesn't make him of the devil, it just makes him different. So you're not going to agree with your pastor on everything. So if you keep jumping just because of one disagreement, you'll be jumping like a toad frog for the rest of your life because there are no perfect people. So just let it slide. No, you don't need to talk. Now, maybe you can talk to your spouse and say, well, honey, is that something you need to go talk to them about? Maybe it's real important. It could be something major. So the Bible says go one-on-one. Don't go to your neighbor. Don't go to your next door. Don't go to other people in church. Go to them one-on-one, Matthew 18, 19. Get it settled, one-on-one, personal. And it'll work out. Our pastor, we've done that. Got great pastors, but we've done one-on-one. Angel's done one-on-one. Hey, I just need to talk about something. And we got it settled. And we realized, well, that wasn't exactly what he said or what he meant. We just misunderstood. But so take care of it one-on-one. That's the best way.
You know, we don't talk about this very much, but authority is enormous to God.
Huge.
And we really should address it more.
We should
do a message on that, because honoring authority is enormous to God. And God has placed a man. You know, I heard somebody say, I left a church before, and I got out of God's will. I did. And I had to go back. God doesn't call just a man to a church. He calls you as well. Yep. You have a role in that church. The role is to serve and to honor and respect. To not create strife, and
pay your tithes,
and serve, and just recently, our pastor preached, and Joe goes, he wasn't saying he was wrong. He just said, I have a question for him. I don't understand what he meant by this. And they went to lunch, and Joe asked him, and he cleared it up. But it was no big deal, really. And but listen,
learned a lot of good stuff. Besides that, it was great.
And honestly, if I'm going to err personally, I would rather err on the side of honoring the office.
Yes.
And saying, you know what? My being right or wrong is not that important.
It's not the issue.
No. So the issue is, can I submit to authority?
Yes.
Can I honor God? Can I respect this man of God? God calls you to a man of God. I've been at the same church since I was in my early 20s. And I love that church more today than I did then. And now the son has taken over. It's no longer the senior pastor. Is still there, but now his son is the senior pastor. And it's been a beautiful transition to watch.
It's great.
And I love them. And I just have the deepest respect for them. And have we always agreed? No. And there's been times I've talked to him. And there's been times it's been a little bumpy when we talk. But
welcome to life.
But I mean we have a relationship.
Yes.
And that you should have a relationship with your pastor. And you know, I mean, we've gone to lunch, we've laughed, but at the end of the day, I honor that office.
Yes.
And I respect deeply the role that they play and all that they're carrying, because they're dealing with things that we will never have any idea. I served as a pastor before. And I said, it's a big church, and they're doing a lot of stuff. We're in a building thing right now, and they're doing a school. They're doing a lot of things. And I saw not to mention they have four kids, all late high school, college age. And so they've got a lot going
on.
There's a lot on the plate. and then both of their families are part of our church on top of that. So I said, I ran into her and I said, you guys are carrying a load, aren't you? She said, you have no idea. And I thought, yeah, I kind of do. But yeah, I just thought, you know, I want you to know we're praying for you, because that's the thing. If your pastor's in error, pray for him. And don't be afraid to talk to him about it. Don't go to correct him. Just talk to him about it.
Yeah.
He at the end of the day is a man.
Yep.
And if he's wrong, I bet you he would be open to seeing something different. But
yes.
But don't go in there, gangs black.
Like a banny rooster.
Yeah, all cocky and ready to. You'll get a. Okay.
You get a whooping.
I used to do a lot of evangelism. We used to say there'd always be those people that were overzealous, you know, new Christians, and we'd say, are you thirsty? Shove a fire hose in your mouth and crank it on. So go in gently with honor, and don't be afraid to ask a question. I don't think there's a thing wrong with that.
Yes. Very good.
Joe, I'm worried that some of my family isn't saved. Now, they've said the salvation prayer, but they don't all live holy. How can I be assured of their salvation?
Well, you're no different than anybody else, no different than angels now. We've got family. We believe they're saved. We talk about them all the time. We pray for them all the time. Father, take blindness from their minds and lighten the eyes, understanding, send labors across their path. Talk to them. They go to sleep. When they wake up, they walk during the day. Say the same prayer all the time. Because I don't know. I hope they are. They seem to be. But I don't want to get to heaven like, hey, where's Billy Bob at? Well, he didn't make it. I don't think you're going to know when you get to heaven who made it and who didn't. I really don't think you're going to know. You're not going to cry. There are no tears in heaven. Oh, man, my loved one went to hell. You'll not know. You will not know. So it's this side's important. So walk in love. If you think about them, pray for them. Just a short prayer. Father, I want to thank you for Frank or Bill. Lord, thank you for taking blindness to mind, sending labors across the path. And I thank you that they're saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, serving you in the local church. So I just pray that in like 15 seconds. You just get it out. God watched over his word to perform it. So give God something to work with. Lord, I know you love them a lot more than I do, but I love them. I don't want to lose them. So I thank you. Talk to them when they go to sleep, when they wake up. So if you get a thought, let it
You know,
go.
it's just so hard, a challenge because, we do have family members that we feel exactly the same way about. Every time, it pulls at my heart. It's a tug.
Yep.
But I mean, you think if you see Jesus, he would sometimes talk to, people that they thought they were doing all right in there. And he's like, "You brood of vipers, who bewitched you?" And then he's on a cross and he says, "This day you'll be with me." And so it's like you see here in one instance he has a lot of grace and the other doesn't seem to move so much. So all I can say is at the end of the day, I'm just very happy I'm not the Holy Spirit and I don't have to make that determination. So, Joe says, particularly when it's our children, God gives them to us and we have to give them back to God. And that's what you do. You just have to give it to God because you can't be the Holy Spirit in someone's life. And just because they haven't, I remember this is a weird analogy, but I wasn't, I for some reason, I am on a list, I know, because I get called for jury duty every 2 years,
That's
more than
great.
anybody I know. As a matter of fact, I just got called again.
They love you.
And then I don't just get called, I get called to be one of them. So, it's not that. So anyway, I don't mind. Because I wanted to be an attorney. I love the process and watching it and everything. But when you watch that process and everything and you're going through it, it's like I remember one time they were questioning the jurors and you have to put on there what you do and this prosecutor comes out and he's like, "Ma'am, look at my client, guilty or not guilty?" And I was probably 25 at this point. I'm freaking out. I mean, he's calling me out in front of everybody, and he's like, I said, "Not guilty, I'm guessing." And I go, "Not guilty." And he goes, "So you do believe my client is innocent until proven guilty?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "Well, I see what you do for a living." And typically, they don't pick people in the ministry or people in the military.
No,
Somehow I slipped through that every time. But
they
he goes, he said, "Now look at my client. Now, if you hear a lot of bad language today, how will that affect, the outcome of this?" And I remember I said to him, I said, "Listen, I understand that I have adopted some ways to live my life. I have chosen that. And that's not the way I live. I don't talk ugly and all that kind of stuff. But I realize everybody hasn't done that. Will that make me determine? Will that influence me whether I choose that they're guilty or not guilty? No, because I understand that I'm chosen to just listen to the facts,
Yes.
and that's it. So I'm not supposed to get emotional and go down that lane. Well, of course, I got picked right then and there. But
We want you.
yeah. So what I'd say is, it's not our job to take an eraser and clean stuff up. Our job is to pray for them, stand in the gap for them,
And not lose any sleep over them. The Bible
and
says,
love
yeah,
them.
rely upon them.
Bible says the kindness of God leads men to repentance. So, I find that there's been some times in my life that the Lord said, "Just stay steady. Don't preach, just be steady." And so sometimes that's all we're supposed to do. So, God's, listen, God is working on it and he wants it more than you do.
More than you do.
We love you guys so much. Hope you have a great day. And I'm believing that our steps are ordered by the Lord today,
yes.
as are yours. Go home and hug your kids. Give your wife an hour off so she can have a break.
That's a good idea.
We love you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.